Well, my niece, who just turned 8 a couple months ago, she decided that she is done with Disney princesses. She said to me, "That's for little kids, Uncle Jimmy." Okay, little kids. So now her Disney princess dolls and all her accessories, which she did enjoy, she now counts of having no value to her. Now I chuckled at this sudden shift in her stance. But then I thought that the same is true for us as adults, isn't it? I remember that when I graduated college and was off working, that my parents said, "Hey, we've got this box full of stuff that was yours when you used to live here, when you were a teenager. How about you go through it?" So I remember going through that box, and most of it, though I had counted it as valuable when I was a teenager, it now was as good as garbage. Literally, I threw it out. It was of no value anymore to me. And it turns out that something very similar happens when we become believers. And that is what we will be discussing today in our message on Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. So let's get into it, and let's start off by reading verses 1 through 6 again. All right, so this is Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate flesh. For we are the circumcision, who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless." We'll stop there. Notice first that in verse 2, Paul tells the Philippians to look out for the dogs, the evildoers, those who mutilate the flesh. And in doing so, Paul is warning the Philippians to watch out for false teachers. Most likely a group called the Judaizers. Now the Judaizers were Jews who claimed to be Christians, but we're teaching that Gentiles had to observe parts of the Mosaic law in order to truly be saved, in order to truly be counted as believers. They were teaching this false doctrine that it was grace plus observance to the law, so plus being circumcised or plus certain dietary restrictions. It was grace plus these things that would lead to being saved and declared righteous before God. So in other words, these false teachers were finding their confidence in the flesh, that is, in their credentials, in their accomplishments, in their spiritual resume, in their status. And Paul tells the Philippians, look out for these false teachers. Don't listen to them or follow them. And he says, you know why? Because I used to be one of them. I've been there. I've put my confidence in the flesh. I was circumcised on the eighth day. I was of the tribe of Israel, a natural born citizen of Israel. I was of the tribe of Benjamin, one of the elite tribes. I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. And not only that, I was a Pharisee. I kept the law meticulously. My zeal for God is shown in how I persecuted the church. He says, if anyone has reason to boast, I do. But then he says, I can tell you from my own experience, putting your confidence in the flesh, putting your confidence in your credentials, it's a dead end. It does not lead to life. There is no gain, there is only loss. There is only rubbish that comes from it. Paul is making quite clear, put no confidence in the flesh. Don't put your confidence in the flesh. Now, to put your confidence in the flesh is to place your hope of being found acceptable to God. It is putting that hope in something other than Christ. And so what might that look like? Well, let me tell you, so many people put their hope in their achievements. They truly believe that if they just work hard enough, if they're just good enough and do enough good things, well then surely God will find me acceptable and will count me righteous. That is putting all your confidence in your achievements, in your credentials, in your spiritual resume. Others put their confidence in their status. They think, well, my parents were Christians, and I was the member of a church one time, 2 decades ago. And they think that that makes them right with God. They are putting their confidence in their status. Or others will put their confidence in the sinner's prayer that was said, or a card that was signed way back when they were 18. And even though there has been no sort of change since then, and though they show no evidence for a love for or commitment to God, they are placing all their hope on a card that they signed 30 years ago, and hoping that that card going to make them acceptable before God. Putting your confidence in the flesh is placing your hope in yourself, in your credentials, your abilities, your talents, your status, your achievements, your reputation. Or said more succinctly, it is putting your confidence in anything other than Christ. And so Paul here is warning us, don't put your confidence in the flesh. I have been there, and there is no gain, only loss from putting your hope in the flesh. That's the point. But how did Paul come to this conclusion? How does he come to draw this inference? Well, Paul came to this conclusion because he encountered Christ and everything changed for him. You see, when you encounter Christ, when Paul encountered Christ, everything he previously found his confidence in, everything that he considered gain, he now considered as a loss. Let's look at verses 7 through 9 again. Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 7, all eyes back in the book. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. And so once Paul gained Christ, everything else, his status, his reputation, his credentials, his accomplishments, everything was counted as a loss. His eyes were opened to see that these things that once were beneficial to him were actually liabilities. His confidence in the flesh was blinding him to see the real treasure, to see the pearl of great value, which is Christ. Paul takes it one step further and says that the same thing, but with greater force and shock. He says in verse 8 that all things which he previously counted as gain, he now counts as rubbish. The term rubbish is more accurately translated as dung or excrement. It is a term meant to elicit shock and repulsion. The term rubbish just doesn't really get across that shock, that repulsion that I think Paul is trying to communicate. Perhaps it would be like saying that Paul counted all things, his reputation, his achievements, as foul-smelling New York City street trash that has been rotting in the hot summer. His previous confidence in the flesh and in the things of the world, he now counts as no more valuable than putrid-smelling garbage. Of no better value than excrement on the pavement. Now, why does he feel this way? Because Christ is of surpassing value in every way. Christ is pure and perfect, while everything else in this world that we can put our confidence in is impure and is defiled by sin. Christ is eternal and everlasting, while everything that we can place our hope in this world is temporal and fading. Christ is unchanging, while everything in this world is constantly changing. The beauty and the allure of the things of this world will fade over time. But Christ will remain just as beautiful as the first day that you beheld him, now and forevermore. There is simply nothing. Nothing that compares to Christ. You can have all the money in the world, all of its prestige, all of its fame, all the praises of men. You can have everything, you name it, everything. And it will pale in comparison to knowing Christ Jesus as your Lord. All the world has to offer is worth nothing when compared to Christ. It's rubbish, excrement. It is hot, foul-smelling street garbage in comparison to knowing the unsurpassable worth of Christ. But you can't believe this unless you have believed and received Christ as your Lord. Until you know Christ, and I mean know him, not just know about him, but know him, then and only then will you continue to see your accomplishments of your life, your status, and the praise of men as gain. If you don't know Christ, then you will continue to look to the world as that which gives you gain. But when you encounter Christ, when you know Christ, then all of these things that you once thought beneficial, all of these things that you thought were of great gain, become loss to you. When you truly receive Jesus and the gospel that he offers, then you know beyond any doubt in your mind that he is far more valuable than anything that this world can offer. We see that Jesus is the greatest treasure that we could possibly have. And there is nothing in this world that could come even remotely close to him by comparison. Like the song that we just sang. A song, by the way, that I think the Apostle Paul would love. Remember that chorus? Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Just give me Jesus. Paul counted the world and all that it has to offer as loss compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, his Lord. Now, next week, we will look at what it means to know Christ from this passage. It is very important. Much can be said about it. And so I'll hold off on commenting what it means to know Christ until next week. I was going to lump it all into this sermon, but it'd be a 5-hour long sermon. So we're cutting it short. Next week, we're going to talk about that. So if you want to know what it means to know Christ, to know Him, not just know about Him, to know Him, not just know Him, come back next week. So let me just summarize briefly this second point, and then we'll move on to our third and final point. Once Paul gained Christ, he counted everything else that he put his confidence in as loss compared to knowing Christ. Those things were blinding him to the real treasure, which is Christ. And so, Paul gladly suffers the loss of all things in order to gain Christ and be found in Him, as we saw in verses 8 and 9. Now, perhaps the most natural question follows is, how did Paul gain Christ? How did Paul truly come to know Christ and be found in Him? That's what we're going to look at this third and final point. And the answer, spoiler alert, is this. We gain Christ because we have been granted righteousness from God through faith. We gain Christ because we have been granted, that is, we have been given righteousness from God through faith in Christ. In verses 8 and 9, Paul is saying, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that, with the purpose that, I may gain Christ and be found in Him. To be found in Him is to be united with Christ. And I am united with Christ because I have a righteousness, not on my own, not based on my own accomplishments, but a righteousness that comes from God through faith in Christ. That is what Paul is saying in verses 8 and 9. Paul is telling us why he has been united with Christ. And it is because he has a righteousness that comes through faith in Jesus. Notice first the contrast between the two types of righteousness. There is one righteousness that is based on works and merit. It is a righteousness that puts its confidence in the flesh. It is the righteousness that the false teachers, back in verse 2, were finding their righteousness in. But Paul is emphatically clear that this type of righteousness is not how he, or anyone else for that matter, has gained Christ. We are not united with Christ because of our credentials, our status, and accomplishments. Rather, Paul is united with Christ because he has a righteousness that comes from God through faith in Christ. A righteousness, Paul says, that is dependent on faith. In other words, God grants, He gives by His grace, genuine believers, He gives them righteousness. He gives them what is a right standing before Him. And the means by which He gives them this righteousness is through faith in Christ. How does that work? Well, here's how. As sinners who have rebelled against God and His commands, we are by nature unrighteous. And in our unrighteousness, we do not have a right standing before God. As a result, what we deserve is to be punished for our sin. We deserve God's wrath for our sin. Jesus, on the other hand, was perfect. He is without sin and therefore was perfectly righteous. Now, here's where the good news of the gospel comes in. Jesus took our sins upon Himself. And He also took our wrath, the wrath that we deserved for our sin. And in exchange, He gives us His righteousness. It's the great exchange of the gospel. Jesus takes our sin, we take His righteousness. He takes our blemished, sinful record and our punishment, and in exchange, we get His perfect, spotless record and His righteousness. But it's only those who have faith in Christ as their Lord and Savior who are recipients of His righteousness. Or as Paul puts it in verse 9, it is the righteousness that comes through faith in Christ. You see, when we trust in Christ as our Lord and Savior, our sin is exchanged for His righteousness. And when this happens, we are united with Christ. We are found in Him and count, therefore, all things that we once thought were beneficial, all things that we put our hope in, all things that we put our confidence in, we count all of those things as rubbish, as garbage in comparison to Christ. There is no greater joy. There is no greater joy than to gain Christ and be found in Him. There is no greater joy than for God to grant you a righteousness that you don't deserve so that you stand before Him acceptable. Is it any wonder why Paul starts off this passage by saying, "Rejoice in the Lord"? He is reminding the believers in Philippi and us today, rejoice in the Lord. You have been declared righteous before God by grace. You have been united with Christ. You are found in Him. Your eyes have been opened to see that the things that you once placed your hope in are rubbish. You believe in the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus as your Lord. Rejoice, brothers and sisters. Rejoice in the Lord for what He has done in order to radically transform your life. Brothers and sisters, gladly count all things as loss because you know Christ Jesus as your Lord and your treasure. Now let's take a brief look at application and then we'll close. What does it look like to count all things lost because you know and treasure Christ? What does it actually look like? Well, it means that when someone wrongly damages your reputation, Someone throws your name under the bus. You don't get enraged. You don't go on a witch hunt to clear your name. Why? Because you know Christ. And more importantly, He knows you. And He knows exactly what happened and didn't happen. And that's all that matters. That's all that matters. There is nothing inherently wrong about trying to clear your name. But when your reputation becomes so central to you, then you are putting your confidence in the flesh. You're putting your confidence in your reputation. And so counting your reputation as lost means counting your standing before God higher than your standing before man. Counting all things as lost means that when you fail to get the approval of others, it doesn't throw you into despair and depression. Why? Because you know that no matter what the world thinks, no matter what the world thinks of you, you know what God thinks of you. You are His beloved son, His beloved daughter, whom He loves, and with whom He is well pleased with. So who cares what the world thinks of you? Who cares if you don't get the approval of man? You have the approval of the sovereign God of the universe. And that is all that matters. That is counting the praise of approval, the praise and approval of man as loss, when you see and trust that God's approval is all that matters to you. Counting your achievements as lost means that you don't look to them for your worth. Your value instead is in knowing Christ and being found in Him. And that was granted to you by the grace of God, not by your accomplishments. And so you don't place your hope in what you have or haven't done. You place your hope in what Christ did for you on the cross. That is what it means to count your credentials as lost because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus as your Lord and the righteousness that He purchased for you with His blood. Brothers and sisters, gladly count all things as loss because you know Christ Jesus as your Savior, as your Lord, and as your treasure. Let me close with an illustration that I heard from another pastor. It's a story about a lumberjack who went into a grove of trees. And as he was going to be cutting down these trees in the next couple of weeks, and as he was walking among the trees, he saw a mother bird building a nest in one of the trees. And he knew that she was going to lay her eggs there and start to raise her chicks. Well, the lumberjack knew that if she did that, then in just a couple of days, they might all die because someone was going to be chopping down those trees. And so, what he did was he struck the tree with the side of his axe. And he rattled the poor bird out of the tree and into another one. And then he followed her and he hit that tree so that she would go to another one. And he kept following her, hitting tree after tree after tree. I'm sure this bird was thinking, gosh, what is up with this lumberjack? And he kept following her and kept shaking her out of the tree until finally she flew up into a rock and built her nest there. And knowing that she was finally safe from danger, finally safe from the danger that she didn't even know was coming, the lumberjack was satisfied. You see, every tree in this world is coming down. Every tree in this world is coming down. And if you are building your life in one of those trees, That is, if you are trusting more in anything of this world, more than God, then one day you will lose everything. Putting your confidence in anything of this world is like building your nest in a tree that is certain to come down. Your only hope is to not put your confidence in the flesh, but to place your hope in Christ. Your only hope is to build upon the unchanging, unshakable rock, which is God. Trust in Christ and his work on the cross to rescue you from your sin and to give you a right standing before God. It is only when you trust in Christ that you will consider all things of this world as garbage and not worth building your life on. And so, are you here this morning building your nest in a tree? Or are you building it on the rock? It is only when you trust in Christ that you build your life on the rock instead of the tree that is certain to come down. And so, brothers and sisters, let's be a people that gladly counts all things as loss because we know Christ as our Lord and as our treasure. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, you are our greatest treasure. There is nothing else in this world that has greater value. There is nothing else in this world that has greater worth. And so, Father, forgive us for when we count things of this world as having greater value. Help us, Lord God, to continue to trust in you and to look not to things of this world, but to look to you. Help us, Father, to seek Christ, to treasure him as the pearl of great value, and to be found in him, to know him, to delight in him. I pray, Father, that we would not be building our lives trees that are coming down, but that we would build our lives upon the rock. I pray, Father, that you would help us to be a people who look not to our credentials, to the flesh, for our right standing before you, but rather that we would throw ourselves upon you and on your grace as the only means that we can be declared righteous before you. Thank you for your Son, Jesus, who died in our place to give us a righteousness that is not our own. And thank you, God. Thank you for how you have rattled the trees that we once lived in and have brought us to the rock upon which we stand. Would we give all praise to you? And would we rejoice in you and in your great name? We love you, our King. And we pray all these things, Jesus, in your mighty and matchless and incomparable name. Amen.